You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 23. Mitch, do I even have to ask what edition it is? Are we going to have a better response this time?
We're not, because I did no research, and I'm blanking out. I didn't remember who number 22 is, so I did no research, and I'm not even, just go for it. Who is it?
You're serious.
Again,
this is two weeks in a row. Someone even tweeted at us.
Did they?
Yes. Yeah,
so I didn't pay attention. I did not pay attention to that.
Folks.
I've got a really bad memory problem, honestly. I really do. Especially when you catch me just like that, when I know I should have done some research and I didn't. This is what happens. This is like homework in high school all over again.
Okay.
Or I show up to class and the teacher's like, so did you do your math homework? And I look at him like an idiot going, no, why would I? And he goes, well, because I gave you some. And I go, huh, fancy that.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are planning to attend our live podcast next week, I need you to just make fun of Mitch to no end. Because if you thought Mike Bossy was bad enough, how about episode 23 when he can't come up with Bobby Nystrom?
Yeah, see?
Back-to-back weeks, come on!
Yeah, I'll get it next week in the live show for show number 24, where I'm going to bring up the list. There's 23 players I can choose from.
Islanders legend Steven Gianta.
Sure, Mikko Mäkelä, there you go, that's a good one. Who else? Dave Archibald, Radek Martinek. There you go. That's who I'm going with. 202 to 211. Perfect. If not, I'm going to stick with my good buddy Mikko Mäkelä.
All right, there you go. So there you have it.
So next week I'm doing my homework.
Okay, good.
Or I'm going to try to
some show prep. That should be interesting.
I did some show prep for this week. I just didn't prep on the numbers.
You did. I'm just giving you a hard time. Well,
I know.
I'm Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson. Again, make sure to give him a hard time next week if you do plan on coming. We do have...
Let's hype that a little bit more. Hype that once more.
Sure. All right. So next week, it's not going to be our regularly scheduled show. Usually we record on Wednesday nights. Scratch that. We are doing a live show Friday night, 7 p.m. from the South Hempstead Fire Department right here on Long Island. We are doing it live. We are doing raffles and we are raising money for a charity called America's Vet Dogs, which, Mitch, I got to go to today, and I got to tell you, I'm pretty happy because I saw what they gave us. We're going to be raffling off a lot of awesome stuff, like the Pucks and Paws calendar, some nice hats, some shirts, and I also got to see some service dogs today.
Oh, you got to see some doggies?
There was definitely some doggos. I saw a golden retriever. I saw some labs.
They're like the worst type of dog because not because of what they do, but you want to pet them, but you know you can't. So you got to like. Mm.
Yeah, it had the vest on. I was like, oh, he's working. I can't do him.
Oh, working dogs, stupid cats. Gotta hate cats. They don't do nothing for no one.
Agreed. We're finally on the same page about something. Okay, Mitch. I know you enjoy me bringing this show off the rails, and before we even start, I have to bring this off the rails. Because it's not on the running order. Did you read my daily links from today?
I did.
You did? Okay. So, how dumb is it that the Islanders want to play half their home schedule at Nassau and half at Barclays?
Well, it sounds silly, but it sounds dumb. That sounded very Yoda-like. It sounds very dumb. It's just there's a clause already in the contract, right, between the New York Islanders and Barclays, who also own the NVMC or whatever it's, I forget exactly the full name of it. We're going to call it the Nassau Coliseum. They already have to buy contracts. Sorry, that's a contract with Barclays, who owns the Coliseum and the county. Barclays are supposed to host 4 Islanders games at the Coliseum per year. And if they don't, they owe the county $1 million. That's already in their contract. So they're just trying to fill that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously 25, 26, you said? You just said half.
Yeah. So whatever, half of 42.
42. Is it 42? Yeah, 41. It'd be 41. So
20 what games. What is that? First, last set?
20 to 21 games. I said 25. Wow, I couldn't even do math. So let's say 20 games are held there. That's a lot more than four. So well overachieving their commitment. But maybe at some point they have to leave Barclays. I don't know why they're sticking to half.
Mitch.
It sounds silly.
Mitch, you're John Tavares, okay? You say, do I want to stick with the franchise, with the idiot general manager and a team that's going to split home games, or do I want to go somewhere else where this junk doesn't happen?
I think it depends on how the split happens. Okay. I think it does. If the split is just randomly throughout the season, yeah, that's going to be a problem. But if it's a clean break from the first half we're in Barclays, second half we're at Nassau, I think that's a little bit of, that could be palatable.
Okay. How about this for you? Something to chew on.
Yep.
What if they make the playoffs? Do they play the playoff games at Barclays or Nassau?
See, now we're getting some interesting territory because mm-hmm. then you got to split the revenues. I don't think Barclays is going to care necessarily. Well, they might have it at it depends what capacity is like.
Nassau is smaller.
Nassau is 11, isn't it? And Barclays is 13 change.
I think it's more on both ends, but I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. So we're going to go with what you said.
I thought it was something close to that, but let's say I'm wrong. Let's say it's a little bit more. Either or, I think they'd like to have it at the Barclays where there's more seats to fill in. I don't know. That'd be tough, man. That'd be really tough. I'd like to say Barclays just because of the economics of the situation. What do you think? What do you think is best out of the two? You want them to stick into one home? Mm. I would prefer that, and I said that before. I would prefer that. That is ideal. I don't want them to have to split between two, especially in the middle of the season.
Play next year at Barclays, like you already said you were doing, and then after that, go to Nassau for the 2 years or however long it is. That's my plan.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that plan. It's just if you're presenting to me that the only plan possible is a 50-50 split, then I'm okay as long as it's literally 50-50, as in one half is played here and one half is played there. If it's just scrambled all over the place, and I'm doing wild, crazy hand gestures to advocate how crazy this is, then I'm not for it.
Yeah, that's
And if there's a C where the C option is just stick to Barclays for the 2 years or stick to the Nassau for 2 years, then I'm all for that as well.
I just don't see it. I mean, I'm happy that they are coming back to the Coliseum for any facet, just because I think it would be awesome for the fan base to get behind, like right before they go into their new building. That's why I would rather them just go to Nassau in the interim, because then it like reignites the passion from that fan base who has missed them on Long Island.
Yeah, you don't understand, sure. What I'm saying? I'm A-okay with that. I can completely get behind that 100%.
I just have to get that off my chest because we didn't have that running order, and I was like, this is just dumb. I don't like it.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I'm all for it, but if you're presenting the option of a 50-50 and that's all we can do, then my only stipulation in that 50-50 is that it's half at one and then the next half in the other.
Yeah, that's it. If we're doing like one day a week at Nassau, one day at Barclays, no.
No. Or weekdays at Barclays and weekends at the Nassau Coliseum? No, stop.
I think
No one's gonna go to the Barclays during the week if that's the case. So
right,
they'll wait for the weekend.
And you know the players probably want to go to Nassau. Anders Lee just was on Boomer and Geo last week and was saying that they would win games just based on the crowd at the Coliseum.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some of that that's lip service, and I'm sure there's some of that that's absolutely true. And I think it's just also the commute is going to be significantly better if they play in Nassau instead of commuting into Brooklyn. Say what you will, but the commute is still long.
Right.
Like, we can't hide from that fact. It's still, what, 20 miles to Brooklyn from, let's say, even just the practice facility in Nassau. In Soyuzet, is that where it is, the practice facility? I'm unfamiliar with the geography. I've been there, but...
Yeah, okay, we're going to have to do this next week because we need to get you to try and pronounce Long Island town names.
Okay.
You got to brush up.
That'll be fun.
You got to brush up on your Native American history because it's all like that. I'll give you one.
Awesome.
I'll give you one now. Massapequa. Yeah. That's a town in Massapequa.
Okay, Massapequa. All right.
There you go. You're a Long Islander. You could say Massapequa.
It's not super. It's not a tongue twister or anything.
Or Hop-Hog.
Maybe the spelling's all weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hop-Hog.
Oh, that's what we're doing next week. I'm going to write down Long Island town names, and you have to read them out loud. That's going to be our game.
In like my French accent, do I have to say it that way?
No, just try and pronounce it how you think it sounds, and we'll laugh at you.
Okay, we'll do that.
Right. Because the reason I got on this, because you completely butchered how to say Syosset, which was funny.
Oh, I said Syosset, and you said Syosset. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Syosset.
There you go.
And the
I'll get it.
What's the address of the Twin Rinks? I guess that's East Meadow, probably.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
That's right past the Coliseum. It's not far at all. Because that's where you went last year, right?
Yeah, I went to an open practice last year, and I drove by the Coliseum, and I saw the typewriter issue, and I was like, it doesn't look the same.
No.
But I think that's the main point, is that it's a lot closer. So that would help. The players are obviously going to like that a lot more, but I don't know, man. Like, I'm with you in, let's just make it a clean break. Let's just play one place until we either can't anymore due to contract situations or until the next place is ready. I'm fine with that. I don't want to have to be the nomads of the NHL. I don't want that to be on, like, the bookmark of the season. I just don't. Like, we were looking back at old trade deadlines here for something we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. And there's one where, team franchise movement. And you're like, what was that? Oh, the Islanders went from Nassau to Brooklyn. Well, the franchise didn't necessarily move, just where they play moved. But it's this big, huge, dramatic thing that I just don't want that to be like the bookend of the season.
Right.
Whenever they go to one or the other.
Agreed. Okay. I just had to get that off my chest. Sorry to pull us off the rails so early in the show.
That's fine. We already wasted 10 minutes of everyone's time. Well, we didn't waste it because we talked about something that's quite interesting.
I think it was entertaining.
Well, we learned that I can't necessarily pronounce Long Island town names. We all know that I'm not from the area, that my geography is not, as someone would say, very good.
No.
We'll all have a nice little laugh at me later on.
To be fair, if you asked me to pronounce town names in Ottawa, no chance I'd probably get any of those right. But it's just like there was a famous viral video that went a couple of years ago. This kid from Long Island went away to college. I forget the school. And then he had people from like South Carolina trying to read the names, and they butchered every single one. So that's kind of like the reoccurring joke.
I'm going to bring you some from Ottawa and surrounding area. So again, Native American names, but also French names. So there's accents of galore all over the place.
Okay,
I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
All right. Let's get into the Islanders' last three games.
Okay.
If we have to. I think we do have to.
It's like, jubilation bookmarked with heartbreak.
How I described it is one step forward, two steps back. That's how it is with this team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. So what three games are we talking about? What, we got the Boston 5-2 loss, which was a goal improvement at least. the last time they played Boston, it was a 5-1 loss. So.
There we go.
Improvement.
Climbing up, baby. Let's go.
Silver linings. And then there was a 7-3 shellacking against the Chicago Blackhawks that we laid on the Chicago Blackhawks. And then the 3-2 overtime loss to the Arizona Coyotes. My God.
Yuck.
I can't believe that happened. What's your takeaway? Obviously, one step forward, two step back.
Yeah, the ones I want to focus more on is Chicago and Arizona. Because how they looked in Chicago, you know, that's kind of like, I don't necessarily want to say they're, maybe I do, their ceiling. Like, we know they could put up that kind of offensive performance. They have it in them. If they could just get solid enough play in net and the defensive zone, if they give up, if they brought it down to just giving up exactly 3 goals a game, they'd probably be in a better position than what they are now. The problem is they can't do that. And then also, when you play a garbage team like Arizona and you just look completely dead, that's also a problem. So you're seeing the highs pointed out in Chicago and then in Arizona, the lowest of lows. So what is it? It's the team's obviously somewhere in between that point, but the fluctuation is extremely frustrating.
For me, it's the idea that they can't play a full 60 minutes. And it's obvious in at least the two games that you brought up. It's definitely obvious in the Boston game. But the ones I want to focus on, again, are the Chicago and Arizona game, just because you brought them up. So if you look at the Chicago game, the only times the Chicago Blackhawks scored, whether, aside from the Patrick Kane goal within like 30 seconds of the second of the first period, we'll call that to nerves by that rendering, that national anthem rendition that apparently jostled everyone. It was really moving. I don't know. It was nice. Don't they see that every night?
No, that guy definitely has the best rendition of it.
Really? I thought it was, I don't know. Anyways, I don't want to get into it.
We're not going to get into it now.
Yeah. And then the other two goals were just lapse of judgment, but mental lapses, where they just kind of, the defense lost themselves for a second, and then, they scored. But otherwise, they're in complete control of the game. They just lost their heads for just moments. And just like that, Chicago capitalized on it, and you got an unflattering scoreline. Like, that score should have been 7-1. It should have been a 7-1 Islanders win. So Halak's got to be mad on that one, because he played really well that game.
Yeah, he
put up a .923 save percentage. He stopped 36 shots. His save percentage should have been a lot better. His goals against average should have been a lot better on that game alone. So that's not on Halak. And then you get to the Arizona game, and they were, again, flat. The first period, super flat. They got three shots on net in the first period alone. And then they picked it up, boom, in the second and third period. Anthony Beauvillier scored within, 2 minutes of the second, and then he scored again within 5 minutes of the third period. They were on in the second and third, but they weren't there in the first period, and that's where Arizona scored that one goal. That one goal that made that difference that brought him into overtime.
Right.
Had they not been so lackluster and lost in that first period, they probably would have left there with a 2-1 win.
Yeah, probably.
At least a 2-1 win. They wouldn't have gone to overtime.
I think we'd be feeling pretty good with a 2-1 win, because when was the last time we saw the Islanders give up just one goal?
Yeah, and then we're looking at 4 points out of a possible six. That's pretty darn good. To me, it's the idea that they can't play full 60 minutes. And I know some people are going to say, well, the defense, their coverage isn't good. And you're right. But that also plays into the fact that they're not there. Because sometimes they are, especially, again, against Chicago. They were there for, I'm going to say, 80% of the game. And then 10%, they just kind of lost it. And then at 10% of the time, that's when they got those two goals.
Right. It was just that one little blip in play that was... You know, that brought Chicago, I don't necessarily want to say back in the game, but it gave him a couple goals. And like you said, now it's 7-3 instead of 7-1. More dominant performance.
It made the scoreline not as flattering as it should have been.
Exactly.
Which I know it doesn't sound like much, but at this point, it looks nice. It helps the narrative and it also pads that goal differential, which would be nice because we're sitting at a -9. We have the second best. Is it the second best, or are we tied for first? I think we're tied for first. Yeah. The New York Islanders are tied for the first most productive offense in the league with the Tampa Bay Lightning at 170 goals for. But the Islanders sit at a -9 goal differential.
That's crazy.
Because they have, I think it's also the worst. I'm just looking right now. Yes. The worst goals against with 179.
So they're tied at the complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
That's right.
That's insane.
The best offense, the worst defense, essentially.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that includes the Arizona Coyotes, who have a 170 goals against and have a -53 goal differential.
Oh, my God. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't.
Like, if only they had average, even if they laid in like Colorado level of goals, 136 goals they let in, they'd still be like at a +20-something.
That's
unbelievable, the situation that they're in. And it's not goaltending. It's not. If you look at Halak's last five starts, he's faced 33, 39, 33, 42, 39 shots. That's insane. And he's got a 909 against Arizona. That's not great, but, you know, one of those is an overtime goal, so, you know, you can kind of forgive him for that. This 3-on-3, like, if they get a good chance, it's going in half the time.
Yeah.
It's not even half the time, 75%. 923 against Chicago. Bruins, let's chalk that up to a bad game against the Bruins. Let's give him that. He's that's entitled fine. To a bad game every now and again.
Bruins are hot, too.
That's right. 905 against New Jersey, not too bad. And a 949 against the Rangers. That's fantastic.
That's good.
Like, overall, those are good numbers, especially in today's NHL, where, like, if you're floating at 920, you're really good. If you're floating at 915 to 920, you're a good goalie. Like, Halak isn't doing that necessarily, but he's not too far off at a 906. Like, he's getting there. His numbers are getting more respectable in the save percentage column. It's just the goals against column that's not too great at 323. Yeah. And I think that's more of a defensive issue.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say it's not really his fault right now. Earlier on in the season, I feel like every week we're talking about, oh, the goalie's got to do this, the goalie's got to do that. Now, it's just the defense isn't good enough in front
that's
of
right. him. And maybe this goes back to, and I've said this before in a podcast, where the strategy that the Islanders put forward at the beginning of the season was, let the goalie see the shots, let the shots come through. And maybe that's what we're seeing, is that more of the shots are getting through. And so that's just what's padding up that save percentage, or padding up the goal, the shots against. But the same opportunities are still leaking through. Maybe.
Could be.
I don't know. But it just seems weird that all of a sudden Halak's a 323 goal against average goalie, when in his career he's a 247. That's steep.
That's a drastic difference, and I'm not going to chalk it up to him being completely washed up just yet. I definitely think it has, like we've been talking about, it definitely has something to do with the defense, and something that's they desperately need to change if they want to keep pace in this division and playoff race.
Yeah. So we have three games coming up. There's one tonight. Later on, we're recording this again on... It's tomorrow. Good. So when this comes out, you'll hear our prediction before the game even happens, against the Golden Knights, and then we have one at home against Florida, and then on the road to the Maple Leafs. I want you, Matt, to tell me how many points you think we're going to get from that. Mainly, I also want to see what your prediction is for that Golden Knights game.
Okay, so we'll start Golden Knights first. I think they're going to lose. I'm going to say 4-2.
4-2?
Yes.
Okay.
And then what was the next one?
Florida. I don't need predictions for the score. Just if it's going to be a win or a loss against Florida and Toronto. Back-to-back games, by the way.
Okay, win versus Florida, overtime loss versus Toronto.
Okay, so I went win against the Golden Knights 3-1.
Okay.
They're going to win against Florida, and I said 5-3. I think it's going to be a high score, and I think they're going to lose against the Leafs in regulation 4-2. Okay. So we're both on the same page where, you said two wins. No, you said a win and an overtime win, right? So
no, I said they get 3 points.
There you go. Okay, so 3 points. I think they're getting 4 points out of six.
Okay.
And I think that's good for what they're trying to do right now. But
I hope they get four.
Yeah.
If it's three, if it's just three, then we're still treading water in the same place we have been. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, God.
Well, let's hope that we stop treading water.
Well, one of the main things that would help us get out of treading water is Anthony Beauvillier, who is absolutely on fire right now, Mitch.
That's my fire sound.
That was a good one. It did sound like fire. Yeah. Like a fire-breathing dragon, perhaps.
Yeah, there you go. My days is playing Dungeons & Dragons. It's finally paying off. Yes, I was a nerd. You'll all see that when you see that I weigh about 140 pounds and I'm only, anyways, I was a nerd.
You say was like it's past tense.
Sorry. In high school, it was 120. There you go.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
I did not weigh a lot. So he is absolutely on fire. What is he at? He's got, I think in his last six games, he's at 7 points with 6 goals, 1 assist.
In his last.
Does that sound right to you?
Last 7 games, he's got 8 goals.
8 goals?
Yes.
So wait, in his last 8 games, you're including the ones before he was sent back down to
Yes, to Bridgeport. In his last seven NHL games, 8 goals.
Yeah. So, and I think that's why I'm coming up with 7 points in 6 games, because I'm only considering from when he came back from Bridgeport.
Gotcha.
Which is interesting to talk about, right? Like, yeah, he was sent down. He was surplus to requirements. What do you think about that callback, or that send down, callback up? What do you think about that? About what it's done to Anthony Beauvillier, and why did they send him down in the first place?
I think people are overhyping the send down call back as the reason why he is starting to perform.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting, because I disagree completely, but let's find out why you think so. Why in your great wisdom, oh, Matthew Leary of wherever you're from, Hempstead-ish, why do you think that this is the case?
It's called the Matthew Barzal effect. Not saying that.
Fair enough.
Anthony Beauvillier is a bad player. He's not riding on the coattails of Barzal. But that second line is looking pretty good, and they're fully functioning. So I definitely think that if you just brought him back and paired him with Brock Nelson and Alan Quine, we wouldn't be getting the same kind of production.
Sure. Yeah, I can't necessarily entirely disagree with that, because obviously there's a connection there between...
Oh, that's such a political answer.
Him and Barzal. But think about it. Ladd was in that position, and Ladd isn't on fire or wasn't on fire before he was injured like Anthony Beauvillier is, right?
Okay, but that's not fair. You can't necessarily...
Now it's not fair.
Mitch, you're the one who said that scoring in the NHL is streaky.
Yes, I did, and I stick to that.
Okay, and Andrew Ladd was productive on that second line, but Anthony Beauvillier maybe just flows better to what Barzal and Eberle do, and it's more sure. A complete line.
And that plays completely into what I was just saying, so thank you for that. I win. Check mark there for me. There's more of a chemistry between him and Barzal, and we can't deny that. There's sparks flying whenever they hang out, the two of them. And now they're just hanging out on the ice in competitive NHL hockey games. What more could you ask for two bros? But for me, the idea is that I like the call back up. Like, clearly he thought, I need to go back down, or he didn't think so, but the team thought that he needs to go back down and find his quote-unquote identity. It didn't take him long to find it, I guess, because as soon as he came back up, boom, 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 the goal started going in. And you can say something like, he is playing with Barzal. Sure, he's just playing with a better quality of teammates. There's no denying that playing with Brock Nelson isn't going to get you the rewards that is playing with Matthew Barzal.
Okay.
That's fair in a way.
Yes. How many games did he play in the AHL? Three?
Two? Three? Yeah, maybe three games.
You think he found his identity in three games?
Maybe.
That's really what, maybe, come on.
He scored 2 goals in 3 games.
Because he got hot.
Yeah, that was it. He needed to find his identity. He needed to be sent down and sent back to reality. Snap back to reality.
Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, and he coughs now.
Yeah, I coughed. I'm still fighting off a cold. I tried to turn down the volume on my board, and I turned it up. So I'm going to have to reduce the amplification on that in the post.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I'm still fighting off a cold from like a month ago.
Mitch is forever sick.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have 2 kids under 3. They bring home like every sort of germ and disease, and my frail body. I haven't taken enough vitamin C in the last like 4 or 5 years, because I've been living free, no kids, and now all of a sudden they're coming into my life, and it's just, oh, wait a second, they put everything in their mouth. So now I'm getting sick. I'm catching it all. I got to up my vitamin C intake.
You can have a new career as the spokesperson for all kinds of like cold and flu medication, because you're Beautiful. Always sick. It's not even acting. You're just there. Film you throughout your entire day.
Perfect. I'm going to do that. I'm going to start a blog, MitchIsSick.com, and then just review cold medications. Cold effects, 2 thumbs up, 2 leaky noses down, something like that. I don't know. I haven't figured out the grading system because I just made it up on the spot now.
It was pretty good. I like it.
Thanks. So I do think, getting back to the actual point here, that Anthony Bovili found his identity with that essential kind of like, go find yourself, kid. And he's like, oh, crap, I have to face this first challenge in my life. Because remember, he came from juniors from when he was drafted right into the NHL. No AHL stopover.
Mm-hmm.
So, and something I want to bring up with that junior career he had, we shouldn't necessarily be surprised on how good this kid is, that he's putting up these points, and that give him good quality of teammates, he'll play well and he'll produce. Like, the kid scored 80-plus goals in 2 years within the juniors for the Cataract of Shawinigan.
That's really how it's pronounced?
Yeah. Like cataracts.
It sounds like Katagat.
Oh, Cataract. You got to roll that R, Matt. Roll that R. Just like that.
I can't. My mouth doesn't do that.
Well, there's a French training for you. Once you can roll that R, you're practically halfway French.
Okay.
That's just it. I think we shouldn't be surprised what he's doing, because like you said, he is playing with Barzal, but there is chemistry between him and Barzal, and he is a good player. So chalk those three factors together and you're going to get the production that he's giving you now.
Right. I definitely think that's fair. I thought before this year, because especially I thought after they made the switch to Doug Weight, that Beauvillier started to come around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was
he wasn't getting like 9 minutes of ice time.
Exactly.
A game.
Exactly. He was getting some decent playing time. It looked like him and Hosang had a little bit of chemistry. I thought he would turn into just a solid middle six guy. Maybe something, I don't know if he'd put up 40 points, but 35 points, just like an okay middle six player. But yeah. I think he's showing that he has potential to be a little bit more than that. To be a little bit like an above average player, which is positive.
Yeah, he might be able to get into that second line for good. Like, listen, 16 points in 38 games over the course of a season, we're looking at a 35-point player.
That's fine.
And that's when he played a lot of time with Brock Nelson.
Right, so if he stayed on this line, he's probably upwards of 40.
Well, at the rate he's going now, he's looking like an 80-point player. He's putting up 80 a point a game. So we don't expect that to continue. Like, that, it's Anthony Bovili, let's be honest here. But if we're looking at a 50-point player, hey, that's fantastic. That we picked up, mind you, from 2 second-round picks that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we didn't have that first-round pick in 2015. Not only did we not have Barzal that we traded, we didn't have Bovili either. We had him for 2 second-round picks, one that was ours and one that we picked up in that Griffin Reinhardt trade.
Exactly.
Thank you, Tampa Bay, for that, and thank you, Edmonton, for giving us those two picks from Griffin Reinhardt.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else you want to talk about when it comes to Beauvillier?
No, I'm just happy that he seemed to finally find the role with the Islanders. I like Bo.
Okay, I have one quick question.
Yes.
Just a simple, quick answer, and then we won't talk about it. We won't justify our answer. Just when Andrew Ladd comes back, second or third line?
For Bo or for Andrew Ladd?
Sorry, for Ladd.
Ladd's going to the third line.
Yeah, same thing. Okay, moving along.
Mitch, I was sad to see all good things.
Here I am playing the tiniest violin for people. If you can put this in post, Matt, of me playing a violin, just a really sad, sad tune here.
I think I got more joy out of Brock Nelson not scoring than when Brock Nelson finally scored.
Yeah.
If you don't follow us on Twitter.
That's hashtag sad, Matt.
It is a little sad, but one of our famed gimmicks was after every period tweeting out how long it's been since Brock Nelson has scored a goal. And it got to 55 periods and then changed. That's when he scored.
That's long. So you know how coaches say, like, when they're interviewed afterwards, how do you think Brock Nelson feels? And they'll say, oh, he's glad to get that monkey off his back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's glad to get the monkey off his back. He's glad to get the mat off his back.
Yes, agreed. He definitely is. But I'm here for it. The numbers, we're back up to 3. He's now gone 3 regulation periods without a goal.
Ah, you're not going to get too far. Like we said before, this is Brock's renaissance. Every year, same thing. It starts in October, and it kind of peaks, if you want to call it, November, and then it valleys through the winter months, and it starts getting back up again come end of January, beginning of February, and it reaches a crescendo in March.
I remember you said that he's the vitamin D king. He lives off vitamin D.
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually thought of this today. While I was at work, it was 4:55, and I looked outside, and it was still bright out. And I was thinking, like, oh my God, see, we're getting into that point of the year where it's going to be a little bit brighter after 5 o'clock. This is awesome. And I was thinking, do you know what time it is, Mitch?
Brock Nelson
it's time. It's Brock Nelson time. I was thinking Brock Nelson's going to finally come around out of his slump.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. Look at his stats over his career and look at how many goals or points he gets through October, November, December, January, February, March. And even April, although April is a small sample size for games, you look at those few months and you'll see that January, December, real low. March and April, or February, March, are the ones where it starts picking up. Just look, you'll see.
Maybe Brock Nelson's a romantic and just needs Valentine's Day to come around and then he starts scoring.
Maybe. People should just send him roses every day. Maybe it's a confidence thing. Maybe he needs to feel loved. Maybe that's just it. Maybe Brock Nelson needs more love, Matt, instead of you criticizing him every period. Maybe you should say, it's been one period since I missed Brock Nelson scoring a goal.
Huh? Brock, I just wanted to tell you from the bottom of my heart, if you're listening, we know you're listening, I love you.
There you go. See? That wasn't so hard. Now get that onto tape and play it in loop so everyone can hear, and then we could all laugh at you. Thank you.
Yes. But it did get up to 55, period. That's an accomplishment.
I don't know if that's an accomplishment.
It is. I'd put that on my gravestone.
No, you wouldn't. It's been 55 days since I didn't do a thing I was paid to do. Yes. That's not an accomplishment.
That's not an accomplishment.
It was fun for a while when you say it out loud. It was. Long may it last, or not last, but long may it live in our memories. And long may it never happen again.
Hopefully not. Do you want to get into the long topic?
Yeah, we're already getting long in the tooth on this pod, so yeah, let's do that. Let's spend some time talking about good old trade deadlines and our buddy Garth.
Yes, old pal, friend of the show, Garth Snow. There was a statistic that was tweeted out, a graphic actually, a graph per se, and it showed all the teams in the league and the amount of trades that they've made at the deadline or around the deadline since 2005. The Islanders are fourth to last. So, does that mean there's a small chance of the Islanders making a trade this year?
It's a small chance. It's not a good chance. And if it is, it's not going to be a good one. If they do make a trade, it's not going to be a good one.
It's not going to be.
Maybe Garth goes off script. But so this is what we decided to do. We went and dug in. We went since 2006, because that's when Garth has been around. Mm-hmm. And we looked at, both Matt and I, on what happened in those trade deadlines. So we didn't just take the deadline day. We kind of went back a bit as well. But I think you have an interesting stat when it comes to actual trade deadline. Like how many moves Garth has made on trade deadline day.
Yes. I was using ESPN for this.
Yeah.
And okay. I didn't see anything from 2008 to 2013.
Right. Nothing on draft day, on trade deadline day. He didn't do anything last year.
No.
On the trade deadline. So what I did is I went back at least 2 months, because we all know that the GMs start trading come January, right? When the freeze is lifted on the roster freeze is lifted around Christmas or after Christmas, that's when GMs start trading. We already saw what Al Montoya left to, I'm going to say it's Edmonton from Montreal. They had 3 goalies, so they needed to move him anyways. Oh my God, they move him mid-season, Garth Snow. Wow, when you have 3 goalies, you don't hold on to them forever. But that's generally what started happening. So I wanted to look to see, and I cross-referenced it based on how many points and their position and if they were in a playoff position that year to kind of get me a picture as, okay, when the Islanders are in this position, what does Garth Snow tend to do? And if you look at the years where they were in a playoff position, so in 2006-07, they were in a playoff position, they made all kinds of trades. They made all kinds of moves, right? That's when they picked up Ryan Smith and got rid of Robert Nilsson and Ryan O'Meara. They picked up Freddie Meyer, Randy Robitaille. Another year where they were in the playoffs is 12-13. They picked up a second-round pick, a conditional second-round pick for Tim Thomas that they shipped out to Boston. That's all they did that year. Mm-hmm. In 14-15, again in a playoff position, as we know, they brought in Mark Louis, Dustin Jeffrey, Michael Neuwirth, Tyler Kennedy. Okay, they picked up a goalie and Tyler Kennedy. Some okay picks, but nothing to catch your eye, right? Nope. They got rid of Corey Conacher, David Leggio, Chad Johnson, and a seventh. Big deal. And then 2 years ago, they at 15-16, they were again in a playoff position, third in their division. And they brought in Marc-André Cliche, whoever the heck that is. I assume it's just a depth move in the AHL. And Shane Prince and a seventh-round pick for a third-round pick. That's it.
Right.
They got rid of Taylor Beck in the Cliche trade. That's it.
So what we're seeing here, it's not like it's anything crazy that's happening.
No. I don't expect him to make a splash. But then again, he doesn't have the same assets that he has this year. Right? Like that's why it's hard to look at this, because you go, okay, well, generally he doesn't do much. He's not very active, except for in 2008, leading up to the 2009 draft. He did a lot to bring in some draft picks, because I guess he wanted to draft a lot that year. But outside of that, nothing else happens. Oh, at 2013-14, where he started selling stuff off again. Right, that's the whole Thomas Vanek era. Andrew McDonald left, so he got a lot of picks those years. But outside of that, he doesn't do much. But he doesn't have two first rounds picked just sitting there.
Not two firsts and two seconds. They have four picks in the first two rounds.
That's true. And they don't necessarily need them. Like, they could use them, sure. Like, who would say no to first-round picks? But when you're kind of going for it and your franchise's superstar is kind of hinging on the fact of, like, I'd like to win some stuff here, maybe you move them.
Yeah, it would be different if it's a rebuilding time. Then, yeah, get as many draft picks as possible and try and rebuild. But that's not the case. The Islanders are at a point where, like, this would, ideally, this is the perfect year to go for it, because you are paying peanuts for most of these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's going to change real soon.
Yep.
So if Garth was smart, which I know we've mentioned this a million times, he'd make a big move this deadline and say, hey, let me try and make some sort of move and get this team going for the playoffs and beyond and get my guy to stay here. Because right now, if, you know, we saw the history, if he just does another depth move, it's not putting them over the top, and then the playoffs might miss the playoffs, and then the future is definitely unknown at that point.
Yeah, the immediate future. For me, it's what is he going to bring in? And I want him to bring him something big, because that's what they need. They need defense. They need it. Because, again, we just talked about this. They have the best offense in the league. They generate goals, and they can generate them throughout the roster. They shed so many goals. And I know missing Calvin DeHaan and Johnny Boychuk isn't helping. Boychuk's coming back, and DeHaan, well, he's not. But they can find a guy who's got the same skill set as DeHaan. That's possible. For less than two firsts and two seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So now's the time to do it. Now's the time, because every GM is starting to call each other. Now's the time. The longer you wait to the trade deadline, the more it's going to cost you.
Yes, this is true. And that's a scary point, because if we wait, then you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going to get fleeced for a rental.
Yeah. And I know we say this, but we don't know what's going on. Maybe Garth knows something that we don't know. He's like, well, Johnny's leaving anyways. He's told me he's leaving, but all this is lip service to PR. I doubt it. John Tavares doesn't seem like the guy who does lip service. So it just strikes me as, why is nothing happening? We have the assets. We've had them all season long. Why is nothing happening when the need is obvious?
Yeah. How could it be more clear than they have a -9 goal differential but have the most goals in the league? Or tied
for most.
Tied for most.
I don't know. I get maybe it comes down to an idea of who does he go after? Who do you go after?
I would want a top four defenseman.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect fit for this team. Obviously, when Boychuk comes back healthy, you put him and Letty back together. But then there's still a bit of a step down after that. So I'd want that one more guy with the Han out.
That's right. For me, I'm looking at an OEL. I'm looking at, I had it written down here, Tyson Berry. I'd love Jacob Trouba. That would be my ideal, but he's not going anywhere yet. He's not going anywhere this year specifically.
Okay.
Winnipeg's in an amazing position. They're not going to shed anyone out, and he might not even look to leave. Although last year he wanted to get the H out of Winnipeg. So maybe that's still there. He's an RFA. He's a perfect top four guy. He's perfect, perfect, perfect for what the Islanders need. I doubt the Jets are going to let him go.
Agreed. I don't think they would get him at this point. Yeah. I know that's a name that came up like in the past, but now, especially with the Jets in a pretty nice playoff position, I can't see them.
Yeah. That maybe move draft, up. Right? Maybe at the draft, but for now.
I could.
No. Because again, he's RFA, so he's in complete in team control for the Jets. They just need to qualify his contract, which they will do no matter what. And he's on the books, and then we still have to give them what they want. So I don't know. Offer sheet, maybe? Maybe we'll see an offer sheet because we got the draft picks.
Yeah, we never see one. You like those. Those are your favorite things.
I love offer. I don't know why anyone doesn't do them. If you have the draft picks, do it. Why not? Worst case scenario, they match it like they did with Shea Weber. Whatever. It's not your money anyways. Oh, we don't get Shea Weber. All right, let's go find someone else. It didn't work out for Philly, but that's Philly.
Yeah, nobody cares about Philly.
No, they don't.
So I guess the consensus here is we're a little nervous, right? To see what's going to happen.
Very nervous.
What's going to happen? We look at the track record, and it's not too appealing, but like Mitch pointed out, he never really had the assets that he currently is holding, so it's kind of a unique situation.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to draft day. It's going to be a lot of stress and a lot of waiting around and be like, do something, a lot of that emoji of the guy poking the stick on the guard's head.
I'm sure we're going to have a lot of content in February. With that.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
It's definitely going to be a good time. Do you want to get into the social stuff? Make it
yes.
a little fun?
Let's do that.
All right. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You can go ahead. I just got to find the... No, I got it. I got it here.
Okay.
So this morning I wrote something, or I tweeted out from our account, hoping that I'd get a lot of responses, and I did. So thank you for those who responded to me. What I tweeted was... If you could design a skills competition game tailored just for Josh Bailey, what would it be? And some of the responses I got were exactly what I was thinking I was going to get. They just weren't as trolly. So we got Mike Etter at MTE12 says, wait for 10 years of all-star games to pass, then he'll be the all-star MVP. He's had a good 2 years, to be honest, which is true. He's had a fantastic 2 years. He deserves to be at the all-star game. I just like the idea that he just sits it out and waits for another 10 years. 50-year-old okay. Josh Bailey, like, I guess it's time to go.
Okay, I like that one.
Playing possum, this is from Donald Rossner, so at Donald Rossner. Playing possum for 10 years, then when it's time to get paid, become an all-star.
That's kind of funny.
A lot of those. And then the last one here is from François, Francis Stasis. This is at his Twitter handle, and he says, draw pass free-for-all. I guess okay. He feels that Josh Bailey is a drop pass artist. I don't necessarily see it. He's not like Jason Spezza used to be. But I guess he does do a lot of drop passes. So,
okay. That's an interesting one. I like that.
What do you have?
What would I have? I would have the secondary assist competition. So I'd have Josh Bailey pass to somebody else who will then pass to someone who shoots.
Right.
So it's a secondary assist competition.
That's fair. So he's got to, or what if he just has to bank it off of two things and in the net?
Okay, I like that better.
So hit two barrels and then it's got to go in the net. And if he only hits one, it doesn't count.
I like that. That's better.
What about if you have the, let's call it the sack race, where he's got to latch on to an all-star and have him dragged across the ice, and whatever all-star drags him across the ice quicker wins? No?
No.
Didn't like that one?
No, not so much.
No, that was a good one, because he's latching on to someone's wing.
Oh,
get it?
It went over my
get
head.
Get it?
Over my head. Like a sack race. I was like, what the heck is this guy talking about? What does that have to do with anything? But okay. Oh, because he's
I was going for the visual. I was hoping you would get the visual, but I didn't paint a good enough picture for you.
No. Apparently not.
Well, thanks.
Sorry. All right. Was that it that you're bringing for the table for your social segment?
That's all I got to the table. I think that's sufficient.
I liked it. That was a good one. I saw the tweet this morning and I got some of the laughs from the replies. So
good.
Mine.
Well, what do you have? What are you bringing to the table?
First, I'm going to start with a little bit of history lesson.
Oh, okay. I'm sitting down
because Mitch can't remember any numbers. So,
nope.
37 years ago today, Mike Bossy scored 50 goals in 50 games.
Wow. Yeah. He was the first person to do it since Maurice the Rocket Richard.
Yes. There you go. Mitch remembered something.
See, I remember stuff. Come on. So I can't wait to get to show 91 where I can say Steven Stamkos. I mean, John Tavares.
So I have a long way to go for that. Yeah. Almost 70 shows. So that was one. That was my history lesson. That was bringing to
okay, it's a good history thing. Lesson. Do you think anyone's going to ever hit 50 goals in 50 games?
No, I don't think that's happening.
Nah, I don't think so either.
I wish. That would be pretty cool to see, but I don't think that's going to happen in today's game.
No. Matt Barzal, get to work, buddy.
The 50 points in 50 games from him was pretty impressive, though.
Heck yeah.
I will take that. I don't know. Do you follow ABC News on Twitter?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, they tweeted a video of flaming garbage on the subway.
Wait, yeah.
And okay. I saw a lot of that was being made into a meme. So I thought, what if we make it into an Islanders meme?
Right.
Mine was a live look at Jason Chimera riding the subway. And it's just, hot garbage sitting there on fire.
Oh, no.
And I was going to think we maybe bounce a few off each other. Do you have any that are coming to you off the top of your head?
Like who the hot garbage should substitute for?
Or just anything. You make it into an Islanders meme.
Okay. The state of contract negotiations between Barclays and the Islanders. Pile of hot garbage because who knows what the heck's going on. I don't think anything is being said to anyone.
I thought you were going Tavares and Garth Snow contract negotiations.
That was my next step. Because, again, it doesn't sound like anyone's talking to anyone at this point. Well, according to Pierre LeBrun, it was nothing of substance has been said. So they're probably talking. They probably have the framework of a deal set up, but they just don't have, the specifics when it comes to the dollars all figured out yet.
Like the important stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, we should probably talk about that contract. Yeah. I'm thinking that's how the conversation went with John Tavares.
Okay. Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow never comes. Another one of those. I would say, before the other day, Brock Nelson scoring.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Brock Nelson scoring touch, hot garbage, until recently. That's all I got.
I was trying to think of Anthony Beauvillier being on fire and somehow relating it to that, but I couldn't really think of anything.
I just did. I thought of that, but then I was going, I don't like to know what's inside that bag that's on garbage or that's on fire. I don't imagine it's anything good. So I don't want to equate that with Anthony Beauvillier at the moment because he is not anything worth garbage.
No. Mitch, I know you've been to New York before, but have you ever been on a subway in New York?
Like a million times. Every time I go to New York, I take the subway.
Oh, you do? Okay. We're going to do a little Eyes on Isles confession here at the end of the show. Okay. I have been on the subway maybe two times in my entire life.
Whoa. I've been on it more frequently than you have.
Yeah. But the point was the New York subways are disgusting.
Yeah, they're gross, but I've been to worse. Have you been to the one in Moscow? That's bad. It's a bad subway.
It's worse?
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's also very cramped. It's the most... densely used subway in the world. 9 million people use it every day.
Oh God!
And so you're sitting there, and it's what they used to be, or not used to be. They used to be bunkers for World War II. So they're dug like 30 meters in the ground. So they're really, really deep. So if you're anything claustrophobic, it's rough because you're sitting there and you're not moving, and you're just going through like you're channeling up into like another section of the subway to get to your next train, and you're not moving. There's people all around you, and you're just stuck. It is terrible. It's the worst subway I've ever been into in my entire life.
I know I'm going to sound like a complete ignorant American, but I have no idea how far 30 meters is.
Oh right, yeah. It's far. It's far. Well, think about it. They use it for bomb shelters, so it's far enough where the bombs aren't going to bother them. Just think about it that way.
All right. I'm going to take your word for it because I have no idea how far that is, how far we're talking. Oh, man. All right. Let's plug the live show one more time, because again, yes, if you listen to us on the regular, you already know about it, but we will not be doing a pre-recorded show and then airing it on Wednesday into Thursday like we normally do. Instead, we are going to be live from the South Hempstead Fire Department on Friday, February 2nd. Mitch is coming down.
Yeah.
He's going to see my hometown, which is going to be pretty cool. And hopefully the rest of you do as well. We have prizes and giveaways from America's Vet Dogs. We're raffling stuff off. It's all for a good cause, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think you guys should come.
I think you should come as well. Just to meet me. Just to meet me and talk to me about numbers and players and make fun of me all you want. That'll be a thing. That'll be the theme of the night. Make fun of Mitch Knight.
On admission, we didn't even mention the best part. Free admission.
Yes.
And free food and drinks.
And everything we raise goes to Vet Dogs. And everything.
All the money we're raising is going to America's Vet Dogs. So what a
cost. We ain't making no money off this, sucker.
No, we're doing it all out of the goodness of our heart and because we think it's going to be fun. We want to meet all you guys.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun.
So as always, make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at EyesOnIslesFS. My personal Twitter is at MattO'LearyNY. Mitch's is at TLO Mitch. Give us a like on our Facebook page where you could also find more info on the live pod if you're interested, like the address of the South Hempstead Fire Department and whatnot, at facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. And as always, check out EyesOnIsles.com for all your New York Islanders needs. Mitch, I'll be seeing you next week. This is going to be exciting.
I can't wait. This time, I'm not going to cheap out, and I'm going to take the toll routes, and I'll get to New York in a timely fashion. It took me 12 hours last time instead of the 6 because I was a cheap, cheap sucker, and I didn't want to pay the $2 for the toll. I'm paying the toll this time. I'm paying the toll tax.
All right, so Mitch is going to pay the toll. He'll get there at a reasonable time, and we will see you all next week at the South Hempstead Fire Department. Mitch, have a good night.
Good night, Matt.